So they say, if at first you don't succeed, you try again. They also say if you try to do the same thing the same way and expect different results, it may not happen. And so I had technical difficulties. And I thought I had overcome them, and of course I hadn't. It took a different SD card because the other one was corrupted, I guess. Sometimes we are hesitant to change. Sometimes we just hold on to things. Sometimes we hold on to bad memories, bitterness. Sometimes we hold on to sins because as of yet we don't see them as sins. Sometimes. But with God, when he says old things pass away and all things become new, it's a promise. It's a discovery. In God, there's just a multitude of great discoveries. Jeremiah 29:13, which of course follows 29:10 and 11. Chapter 13, after telling us that he knows the plans that he has for us, and good plans, and plans for a future and a hope, and good things. Then he says, when you figure this out, I think that when we make this discovery, he says, then you will, with deep longing, you'll seek me. You'll require me as a vital necessity. When you do this, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Well, only God knows if we're searching with all of our heart. But one thing that brings about our searching with all of our heart is a deep desire when we really want to discover something. And when we come and make the discovery that the fullness of Christ is all that we need. And it's a process. Gold miners, they heard about a gold rush, and they would come and they would dig here and they would dig there and they would dig and they would dig and they would dig and they would dig, and then they would, then if they found something, they wanted to stake that claim, and if they found something, then everybody wanted to have their claim, and they would continue to dig, and every day they would dig and they would dig and they would dig and they would dig, and many of them wore themselves out trying to dig, and others hit a tremendous low. But the thing was is that they believed that there was treasure there. I think that as Christians we need to know that the Lord is a treasure. Not some distant treasure, pie in the sky, will be there by and by. That song, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. You know, I have no doubt that it will be a great time, but that song sort of has the idea that, you know, I'm not going to have a glad morning until then. I'm telling you what, Jesus came that we might have abundant life, that we might enjoy life, that our joy might be full. That's a discovery. It's a discovery. And so the whole thing of seeking the Lord is making these discoveries. And when we've found something, then we have something to share. When we have understanding, that's a discovery. And so then we've got something to share, and we can't hide what we know. And what if we offend someone? Hey, if the door opens to insert what you know, it's their opportunity to make a discovery. We can't deny them that opportunity. See, we discover that it's really an opportunity for them. If they reject it, God said to Samuel, look, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. And we can't just say, oh, well, if people reject God, that's just fine. It's not. Aren't you glad? How many times did you reject God? How many times have you denied God? How many times? It isn't just before we come to know the Lord. How many times do we disregard what he has for us? How many times do we refuse to press toward the mark for the prize? How many times are we just comfortable where we are? How many Christians have come to the conclusion that, well, I'm saved and that's what matters? It does matter. And don't get me wrong here when I say this, you know, we're not supposed to just sit around happily saved. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But we can't just sit around content to just let everything, okay, now I've got my place in heaven. Right now for Christians, hey, you know, we can't be sitting back and saying, well, you know, we can't get involved in politics. Man, we need to be involved because politics controls whether or not we meet. We're fortunate. We took 3 weeks off and didn't take it off. We just did it different in order to show some respect for what was going on. But we could just keep on going. And I like getting together. Whether we have, you know, barely a few, that's fine. If two or more gather together in his name, he's there with us, you know. And we can accomplish great things. When we worship, we accomplish something. When we pray, we accomplish something. When we praise, we accomplish something. We believe that, right? If you're listening to this, I hope that there's something in it, a discovery. You know, I go to the jail all the time, and I tell them every time, look, it's no accident that you came out of the pod. It's no accident that you came. You came seeking God, whether you know you came seeking God or not. And it's my privilege to plant a seed in that it causes you to anticipate and causes you to make a discovery that who the Son sets free is free indeed. I mean, that's what I tell them. That's what I say to everybody. That's what I do. I get up in the morning. I woke up on Sunday morning, and the thought that God put in my heart was, what's inside? What's inside of me? What's inside of his word? What's there to be discovered? Great discoveries. I mean, if you lose your sense of discovery with God, then you can become very complacent, almost disinterested. You become one that would hope someday you'll go to heaven. You know, some people say, boy, I'm going to heaven, but I'm not sure that they're sure that they're going to heaven. They haven't heard from God or spoke to God much in a long, long time. You know, I mean, I just don't know. I just don't know. I'm discovering a new excitement about discovery, because the Lord has promised us great discoveries. When I seek him with all my heart, have I slowed down in seeking him? Probably. Sometimes I probably have. Sometimes, like everybody, it's inexcusable. But like everybody, you know, distracted, busy, other things requiring our attention. But hey, we know that all we have to do is call upon the Lord, and he hears us. He hears us. What a discovery that is. The key is for us to be thankful that he hears us and not base our confidence on what he does for us, but on him. It's not the things we get from God, it's the God of the things that we get from God. It's God's most important. Grass withers, flower fades. But the word of God goes on forever. The promise of God goes on forever. Things can disappear. Some things we pray for, it's a good thing we don't get them. Folks, we have a tremendous responsibility right now in this lifetime. We are in a time of prayer for our nation. I heard a guy who's prophetic just share briefly about the fact that he had a dream, and in the dream, it turned out that he was having a meeting with the president, Donald Trump. Donald Trump was looking in the mirror, and this guy looked in the mirror, and what he saw was Abraham Lincoln. And he said that, you know, that God raises up people. God raised up Abraham Lincoln, and Abraham Lincoln, against great adversity, against great hatred, against great animosity, he was determined that they needed to end slavery. And so it was a brutal, brutal war, an awful thing going on. Well, folks, let's be honest, there's a lot of awful things going on right now. We're here, I call South Dakota, I call Highmore the paradise, because we are not damaged by all that's going on physically. We see it, and listen, we got to know that we have a responsibility to pray. We can't just say, oh, I'm glad that that's 500 miles away, or oh, glad, I'm glad that's 700 miles away, or I'm glad that that's 1,500 miles away, or, you know, we can't do that. We can't have selective compassion, remember? I discovered that I needed to have more compassion, that it wasn't enough to just think, well, you know, every name, everyone must bow to Jesus. There's only one name under heaven by which men must be saved. You know, that's not just a word, it is the word of God. And we're called to care about the word of God. To care about it. You know, people followed Jesus. Jesus healed people. People cheered for him and then got caught up in the riot of saying, crucify him. You know, his own disciples, they disappeared. And then they were afraid and they were hiding in a locked place. You know, I mean, it's just, and we've had a whole lot more time to discover, to make discoveries about God. We look at them and we say, my goodness, they walked with him. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him walk on. How could they have doubted him? They were scared. Are you afraid? Are you afraid to take your stand? Are you afraid to say? You don't have to be obnoxious to say what's right and what's best. But you have to be willing to if somebody sends you something that's crazy, put a crazy on there. Put a not in my lifetime on there. Put a what are you thinking on there, whatever the case might be, you know, because they're going to read it. Oh, man, you know you do too. You read people's comments. I look at people's comments. I don't, you know, you were a fool before Christ at some time. Now you could think, well, I was a bigger fool than anyone. I say amen to that. I fooled myself mostly. But I love discovering the nuggets that God has for us. I love the realization that the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure in a field, and he put that treasure back, and he went and gave everything that he had, and he bought that field because that field was full of treasure. See, the kingdom of God is full of treasure. But that treasure, some of it is a little confusing, you know. You might grab a treasure that calls you to do something you're not comfortable doing. You might find a treasure that causes you to make a stand where you didn't think you could make a stand, but that treasure rises up inside of you. That word dwells in you richly, and all of a sudden you have a new way of doing and being. See, I said I discovered that I had selective compassion. I didn't like that fact that I had selective compassion. And I didn't know exactly how to fix that except for to ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me fix that. And you know what he has? Now, no big thing except for I know on the inside that I have a different attitude. I have a different attitude. I want everyone to be saved. I want there to be a revelation. I want there to be an appearance of Jesus Christ in the midst of the riot and the looting and all the stuff that they're doing. I want there to just come an awareness on them. What if all of a sudden everybody just started looking for a discovery of God? What if everybody just started thinking about Jesus? What if they just weigh out, man, for some reason I'm thinking about Jesus. I know about that. Because when we were very, very lost, for some reason we thought that our child needed to know about Jesus. Why did we think he needed to know about Jesus? Apparently somebody was praying. I don't know. It makes less sense every time I think about it. How in the world did that come? But what if that lands on a riot, on a protest? What happens if that lands in some defund the police meeting, and all of a sudden, we should consider Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? You know what that does to if you have a group of people and all of a sudden somebody says, "What do you think about Jesus?" You're going to get a reaction. You're going to get a, huh, or you're going to get a, that's crazy. You're going to get a reaction. There's always a reaction to Jesus. See, Jesus cares. And we need to care. You know that we are the only nation in the world that's one nation under God. It doesn't matter how many people don't like that. We're one nation under God. We are the only nation that I believe that has "in God we trust" on our money. It don't matter if people want to take that off the money or not. It's "in God we trust." Pledge of Allegiance needs to be in our schools. Our kids still need to know this is a great nation. Somebody needs to say, "You can't teach them garbage." We weren't taught garbage. We were fortunate. We weren't maybe necessarily as interested in it as we could have been or should have been. Man, history wasn't my favorite subject, but I learned about history. We learned the Gettysburg Address in high school. Many people listening to this learned that 67 years ago. Yeah. Well, I can't repeat the whole thing, but we learned it. We had to say it. We had to say it until we had it said. It's important. It's important that we know about those things. It's important because in that we learn to stand for something. Just as we need to learn to stand for the kingdom of God and for the goodness of God and for the righteousness of God and for the rightness of God. God's right. I don't care what anybody says. God's right. And I'll say God's right to anybody. Christians that don't like the way that our president talks. I wish he talked different too. But I listened to James Robinson and he had a great message about him because he's with him. And when he's with him, he said that the president listens to him and that the president wants what he says that he wants. Now, he's not a perfect Christian, but are you a perfect Christian? I'm not a perfect Christian. Everything I do doesn't please everybody. Everything, I got news for you, everything you do doesn't please everybody either. But there's another great discovery, that is that not only does God hear us when we pray, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are we willing to ask him to forgive us for complacency? Are we willing to ask him to forgive us for inactivity? Are we willing to say to him, "Lord, I don't know where I land in that, but Lord, show me"? And have him say, "Arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Everything in God is a great discovery. Everything with God is a treasure. But we need to seek him to get what he wants. And we need to be willing to be, inspired to seek him for our part. Because we live here in a little town, in a little paradise where we are not interfered with a whole bunch, we can pray the ceiling, we can pray the roof off the church, we can pray the pavement off the highway. I mean, we can pray, and it isn't in deep and It's when you've done everything to stand, stand therefore. With the full armor of God. In the truth, if you're in the truth, then you're right. People don't always agree with what's right. But say to the mountain, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. The Bible says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do that. And so you've prayed, and when you've prayed, you can say you've prayed. And you can move on and pray for the next thing and pray for the next point. You can say, Lord, just let it be. We need rightness to lead this nation. We need to fight against socialistic and communistic ideas. We need to. Because it's not what God wants. God wants everybody to know Him. Socialists and communists want Jesus moved out. God moved out. They don't even want stained glass windows. Why? Because it reminds them of Jesus. God! Like I said, there's always a reaction to Jesus. They don't want anything that reminds them of righteousness and truth. They don't want anything that reminds them of godliness. They don't want that. So if we have someone that is standing up for the church and defending the church, shouldn't we stand with them? No, I don't want this nation to go down the tube. I've had a good life in this nation. I want my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-grandchildren for however long the Lord waits. There's always going to be somebody that needs to be saved. There's always going to be somebody that needs to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, there's a lot of great discoveries. There's a lot of nuggets. There's a lot of things going out. Something always will touch our hearts. And if it touches your heart, treasure it. Let go of everything else that you have and discover what that is that the Lord's trying to show you. If you're holding on to things, your hands are in a fist. And if somebody throws you something, you can't catch it. All you can do is block it. You can knock it down. We don't want to knock down the truths of God. We don't want to lose what God has granted us. We want to bless the Lord and we want to be blessings. We want the name of Jesus to continue to be freely, freely spoken. So stand. Stand for the truth. Don't just think, well, God's in control, so we'll just let everything go and God will get done what God wants to get done. If God was going to just get done whatever God wanted to get done, He wouldn't need us at all. We get saved, He'd take us away. Boy, we would like that, but that's not it. Jesus said, just go into all the world. Go. And be a representative of Jesus Christ. Just stand. Stand for what's right. Nobody can stand where you stand. You have your stand. I have my stand. Everyone has their place to stand. But as Christians, we all stand in Christ. And we have the mind of Christ. And so we recognize things. And we need to recognize that God is good. That's a discovery. And that He does good. And every good and perfect gift comes from God. And the devil is bad. And only the devil would want us to be silent when we can speak truth. Only the devil would tie our hands and gag our mouths when the truth needs to go out. It's time for us to discover more and more of who we are in Christ, discover our place in Christ. And we say that, Lord, you know, I don't want to just be a spectator, so I'll pray. And not only will I pray, but I will lift up my voice. When there is a place for me to speak, I will speak. I won't condemn myself by the things that I approve. There are so many things to discover, you see. And when we discover the goodness of God, then we can walk in the land of the living. Because the Bible says, without Christ, we were dead in our sins. There's just a lot of people that are the walking dead. We know this. We need the kingdom of God to be displayed and on display. We need to keep a one nation under God, where in God we trust rises and rises and rises and rises and rises and rises and rises until it's like the banner over me is love. God's banner. I believe that the devil has tried to destroy this world and the Lord has raised up a banner against him. And we have the distinct, wonderful privilege of being a part of the kingdom of God, where there's more and more and more and more great discoveries to be made. Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your joy. Don't let this darkness suppress you, but arise over the top of it. Be as Jesus, who said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Hey, you got joy before you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord shines a light for those in darkness to see. And the darkness doesn't like it, but that's okay. The darkness can't overcome the light. You are the light of the world. Have you discovered that? What is there in the kingdom that you haven't yet discovered? There's so much. I know that there's so much. But the excitement of seeking God, the excitement of waking up with the Lord saying, what's inside? What's inside? What's inside of me? What's behind the curtain? What treasure? What responsibility? What call? What encouragement? You see, everything we need is in Him. That's a discovery when that becomes a reality. See, you haven't discovered it when you're just thinking about it. Remember what the Lord said. Then with deep longing you will seek me. And you will require me as a vital necessity. And you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. See, the Lord knew that we needed to discover the truth, that he has good plans for us. And once we've discovered the truth of his good plans for us, now then we will be seeking him, because it's good to know that someone has good plans for you. And I believe that God still has good plans for the United States of America. There's a worship posture, and I think it's called the Baroque, but it's where the hands are extended out in front to receive. In order to receive, remember, you can't receive with fists. So whatever you're holding on to, even if you don't know what it is, but you're hesitant to just be wide open to God. You know, sometimes that's to be wide open to God. I want to encourage you right now. Just put your hands out in front of you like you're going to catch the blessing of God. Willing to let that blessing be a responsibility. Let that blessing be whatever it is that God has for you. Just reach out. Just hold your hands out to receive from God whatever it is, and understand that God's plans are you for good. And that right now we are seeking Him and requiring Him as our deepest necessity. And now we say, Lord, we're here to discover our part, your plan, your desire, and we just receive it. And now we believe that when we've asked, that we've received. We believe that when we pray, you hear us. And we just know that we have received something more than we realize, and we look forward to the discovering of what it is. So thank you, Lord. In the powerful, wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.